Turns out he just can't get enough of data and statistics.
Each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. With old friends and former foes, we will work tirelessly to lessen the nuclear threat and roll back the specter of a warming planet. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. To the people of poor nations, we pledge to work alongside you to make your farms flourish and let clean waters flow, to nourish starved bodies and feed hungry minds. And to those nations like ours that enjoy relative plenty, we say we can no longer afford indifference to the suffering outside our borders, nor can we consume the world's resources without regard to effect. For the world has changed, and we must change with it. We will build the roads and bridges, the electric grids and digital lines that feed our commerce and bind us together. We will restore science to its rightful place and wield technology's wonders to raise healthcare's quality and lower its cost. We will harness the sun and the winds and the soil to fuel our cars and run our factories, and we will transform our schools and colleges and universities to meet the demands of a new age.
Barack Obama there, talking about science. Ian, you wrote a blog post about the Obama administration and its love for science. We've talked about it before here as well, but now we've got sort of a definitive list of who's going to be doing what, and there's a few interesting appointments. Do you want to just take us through them?
What I like is that, as before under Bush, we really only had, the significant one was John Marburger, the presidential science advisor. It's a real critical mass of serious hardcore scientists that he's brought around him. You have John Holdren, who is a really highly respected climate change scientist at Harvard University. He will be taking John Marburger's job as presidential science advisor. He is just incredibly well respected, very up on the whole game, and he's also very politically aware. And I don't think he would have been appointed, but I don't think he's, if he wasn't like that, but he's going to be a real force for changing US policy, I'm sure, in terms of the climate change issue. Interestingly enough, a Nobel Prize winning physicist called Stephen Chu, who's been running one of the major energy labs, physics labs in the US, is becoming energy secretary. I'll cut more about him later. A couple of others, Jane Lubchenco is going to head up the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's the US organization for looking at climate change data and looking at the health of the oceans. Again, completely on board with the climate change issue. Again, very well respected. So she's a good, solid person. There are going to be two co-chairs of this big council of science and technology advisors that Obama has. And again, he's gone for Harold Varmus, who is used to be a director of the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, very, very good around Washington, and an amazing scientist, and Eric Lander at MIT. So you've got some really solid people. One thing that's interesting, I think, is that a lot of scientists I've spoken to have been very critical of John Marburger, saying that he was, phrase being sort of limp-wristed and not particularly effective under Bush because of the things that happened on his watch.
Well, he was kind of hobbled by the fact that he didn't really have access to Bush to tell him to do things after a while.
That's true. But what is, I think, here is you have this bunch of people who probably aren't going to let each other get away with anything. And collectively, even if not, I mean, I'm sure individually they're strong enough, but they have the backup of these others if anything happens. Since these have been appointed, we've actually had the first sort of decent speech from one of them, which was Stephen Chu, the energy secretary, who gave a video address to the big national labs in the US. And to read just some of his points, it's really encouraging, but I have a slight feeling of 1997 about this. I mean, is it all too good to be true? He says that the environment was one of the main reasons he took the job. And he's saying that sorting out is like a tremendous opportunity for the Department of Energy, but it comes with this burden of which they just can't fail. He actually said that the DOE, the Department of Energy, can literally save the world by developing a sound energy policy. And this is about using, they're talking about inventing new science for new technologies. I mean, he's going incredibly strongly on this.
Chu's going to be heading up energy policy, as you say, in the States. And that statement about saving the world is not actually that far from the truth, because the DOE actually spends so much as a single organization on energy research. And Chu actually was head of research lab at Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, and he's a Nobel Prize winning physicist, I believe, who's dedicated most of his career, well, the last decade or so, to looking for alternative energy sources. So you can't imagine he's going to turn around now and say, right, what we need are more coal-fired power stations. So the one criticism of him, it seems to be, is that he just doesn't have much experience of politics. Now, I don't know what you think, but I don't think that's... it gives me a sort of... It makes me slightly optimistic that he won't just play the games. But then, I don't know, maybe I don't understand politics enough to know that you need to play these games to get this stuff done. He could say, let's just invest $10 billion in solar power and get it sorted, which maybe someone who's more politically minded would think, well, actually, that would be quite hard to do. So, you know, let's not do that.
No, I agree with you. And I think it's really exciting, the people that have been appointed. What is going to be really interesting to watch now is what happens when the tensions come along. What happens when Stephen Chu says, I think we need to pour this amount of money into this. And, you know, Treasury says no can do. When the reality of getting on with the world kicks in and the scientists are saying what they want to say and the administration has to do what it feels is best. I mean, watching those tensions arise and how they're solved and dealt with, I think it's going to be really interesting from now on.
It is interesting also to see the shift of scientific power just being literally swatted back towards the states within days. I mean, we knew who these people were going to be for some time, and we've always been complaining for a long time that the science in the states at the policy level has been very sort of lackluster. But within days, it's like... Well, it's maybe a coincidence that our own chief scientist has been criticised for not really speaking out very much when we had someone in David King who is amazingly vocal on climate change. But we do have Bob Watson, of course, head of the chief scientist at DEFRA, the Department of Environment, him, who is a former IPCC chairman. So no question about his quality. But then we've got a Department for Energy and Climate Change now in Britain who doesn't have a chief scientist. I mean, there is no chief scientist, which It seems to be a little bit disorganized. Whereas in the States, they're thinking, right, this is our year. We're going to take everything back. Well, good luck to them, because also 2009, end of this year, we're going to have the post-Kyoto Copenhagen Treaty, which you hope is going to be led by the States. I mean, it looks like these people are all climate change specific. This is a really strong message from the administration to say that we're going to do something about climate change. Do we know anything more about what we're planning? I mean, they seem to be bunkered down at the moment. There's no official policy coming out about any of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they've been looking over a lot of the policies that were already in place and reviewing everything, and then that's where you then go and sort of move forwards from. But I mean, I just think just one thing comment I was going to say is just looking at some of the US blogs that scientists write on. This whole idea of, you know, restoring science to its rightful place, it's really evident that the scientists over there don't see this as an improvement in science, as we may have seen in 97 with the change of our own government, or they see it as a U-turn. I mean, they see this as an absolute about-face to start going in the right direction. And I say, I mean, the only one who's been very vocal so far has been Stephen Chu, and so really only have his things to go on. But, I mean, he said, you know, if half of the things climate science tells us are half true, we have a huge problem on our hands. And the DOE is basically the place to sort it out. But he's also been, you've got to think, well, fine, but look at the state of the financial situation around the world. How much are you going to be able to do? And he addresses that by saying, look, we can't be overwhelmed by short-term financial problems. We can't let those sort of tie our hands. We still have to find a way out of this. And inventing the new technologies is going to be the way forward financially as well.
And I hope that the politics doesn't get in the way. Just one other thing to say about all of this new team. One of the things is that John Holdren, the chief scientist, essentially, is going to be a cabinet position. So he's going to be sitting there with Obama in all the cabinet meetings, which is an amazing sort of elevation of that position. But also Harold Varmus, one quick point about him, Nobel Prize winner. He's not the kind of guy, from what I know, from what scientists have been saying, who would just sit around sort of to get a figurehead position. He's going to be doing something clearly important, which again, for me, says something about the biological side of things, because he's a biologist. This says something positive about the stem cells issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're expecting changes in what happens with stem cells in the US anyway. I mean, Obama's already said that he's going to lift the restrictions that Bush had on using embryonic stem cells. Last week we heard that Geron is going to, in the US, has got permission from the FDA to do its first embryonic stem cell trial in humans to look at spinal cord damage. I think that's probably fortuitous. I don't think Obama had a hand in that, because Geron have been trying to get this through the FDA for a hell of a long time. But it shows that things are moving in the right direction. There's still a hell of a lot more to do on that, and I think that's where we need to keep watching rather than let the honeymoon go unscrutinized.
I just thought we'd actually gone through this pod for rather a long time without mentioning religion, and I wanted to just note from that lovely clip of Obama how nice it is that there's a shift away from this kind of Christian emphasis and Christian worldview, which was rather nice to hear.
Nicely done. We always get slapped whenever we talk about religion on this podcast, but we should keep doing it, I think. Well, anyway, great to hear from everyone on this. If you want to say anything, please add your comments to the podcast page. That's guardian.co.uk/scienceweekly.